The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game on VSiN, hour number two, hour number 10 of the week. I'm Jeff Parles.
But who's counting?
Who's counting?
Yeah, you are.
Apparently. I don't know. Hey, again, that's I can do five times two. I am capable of that math.
Sorry we've been such a strain on you this week.
Oh, no. Come on. It's been a blast. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. I'm just happy, Kelly. I'm just happy to have made it through the week, especially with other factors that have been in play this week. Very happy to be here, be healthy, have Kelly here, as always. Great crew, as well as Rob Moreno, doing a great job today in the substitution role. Liz Foster down there as well. Kevin and Sean, both audio guys here for some reason.
You always got to have backups. Yeah, Jeff. Hey, it's really important.
I mean, look, Kev is so unreliable, as we said earlier that Sean's got to be here. But
he's got Kev's on the ones, Sean's on the twos.
Yes, that's how that works, right?
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's how it always works. So, Kelly, we actually talked about this off the air earlier in the week, and we're going to bring this to the air now. DraftKings already posted comeback player of the year in the NFL next year. And people are thinking probably as I bring this up, it's February 24th. It's a nebulous award to begin with. How in the world are you bringing this up? How are you possibly talking about this? Well, doubters at home, it's because this might be the best betting opportunity there possibly is this year. Because you look at the numbers out there. DraftKings put it up with DeMar Hamlin at plus 250. Trey Lance is 6-1, 2 at plus 650, Lamar at 7. The Rams, Stafford and Kupp, 8 and 9-1 respectively. Everyone else is double digits. Okay, Kelly, there's a name on here I actually forgot about.
So that's where we were discussing this off the air.
Yeah, so there's a name on here I completely forgot about that actually could get in the way of what we were about to talk about here. So
there's a lot of names on here. You forget how many guys were injured, out of the league,
whatever. No, but there's one in particular, and I don't know what the technicalities are on this. But I'll get to it in a second. DeMar Hamlin being only 250 is kind of stunning to me. Because of everything that happened on that field in Cincinnati in the days after, what happened with that game, with him being revived multiple times, with him not only surviving but seemingly thriving again now. Plus 250 seems way like an unbelievable price for the better. But then I look down the board, and I'm curious on the technicalities of this. John Mechie has had cancer and missed the whole season this year. Leukemia, I believe. At 15-1, the receiver out of Alabama, now at Houston. Kelly, what is it? You can't be a rookie and win this award. We found this out with Brian Robinson this year, where Brian Robinson was shot in the leg before the season and came back and actually had a pretty successful year. We learned he was ineligible to win the award because he had never played an NFL game and was a rookie.
Right.
John Mechie didn't play at all last year as a rookie. Is he eligible for this award?
It's a great question.
Because
and probably pro tip number two that you should check on that.
I don't know because if he is eligible.
I don't know why he would be if Robinson wasn't.
But again, it's technically not his rookie season, even though he didn't play.
I know.
Weird one there.
It is.
Because it's not like the NBA where if the guy doesn't play, as we saw with Blake Griffin, the second year is technically his rookie year. There are only two bets to be made here, Kelly.
But even if you were going to speculate on that one, I'd want a longer number than 15-1.
I don't know about that. Because if he plays and he's effective, coming off surviving cancer?
Yeah.
That's a big number. Look, Hamlin at plus 250, I'm stunned. Because if he gets on the field, and again, if the situation when Mechie didn't exist, Kelly, this conversation was very different before seeing the numbers again. And remember, John Mechie's missed the season with cancer last year. Plus 250 on DeMar Hamlin, though. I'm stunned it's not – and I wouldn't have blamed DraftKings for doing this. If they made DeMar Hamlin minus 250, I wouldn't have minded if they did that. Really wouldn't have, Kelly.
Yeah. No. I mean, Gil and I have talked about this a bunch. I know Gil said, you know, DeMar Hamlin, this is the bet, almost no matter what the number is, it gets posted. I think the Mechie angles is interesting that you bring up. I think with both of those guys, this is gonna sound cold. Are we still gonna feel the same way and think the same way with two guys if we don't see them on the field much? Which could be the case with both of these guys.
You got a good point there, because Hamlin very easily the Bills could go out, make some moves in that secondary. Hamlin was a sixth round pick and
But he still a backup on that defense. He was a backup on that defense. We also don't know what kind of shape he's going to be in as soon as we get into the season. And Mechie kind of same thing, right? So I just don't know. When you have so many big names, like a Trey Lance, like a Tua, like a Lamar Jackson, these guys that missed time this year, right, that I don't know, could be stud quarterbacks during the season next year. Do we just drift to looking at those guys that we see scoring touchdowns every single week?
All right, I'm gonna be that guy here with Trey Lance. What has Trey Lance come back from in his NFL career? He's played four games, and I know Burrow won Comeback Player of the Year when
still
he
hurt.
I know, but I don't know. I think Tua should be shorter than him personally.
Tua
legitimately suffered three concussions this year.
I would pull Lamar Jackson shorter than him too.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Even though that situation's a little bit weirder than the other ones, but it's a nebulous market, but it is a fascinating one. It is also at DraftKings one of only two awards that are up for this upcoming NFL season.
I also just don't know. Like, let's run through all these though, real quick. Like, do you think, would you bet on, like, the Rams players are both instant scratches for me?
No,
like,
Trey, you can't bet them.
I wouldn't bet these because do both guys kind of qualify for our thinking of this award? Absolutely. But do I think the Rams are going to be decent enough and these guys are going to actually be good enough next year that they're going to be jumping out off the page to
us?
No.
They're not going to be. There are too many guys. Unless if Stafford is like MVP level.
That's what I'm talking. They'd have to
it's
be
just
that.
Not, it's not happening. The other guys on this board, Breece Hall's not going to win it, even though he was well on his way to winning the Rookie of the Year if he doesn't tear his ACL in Denver earlier in the year. I just don't see it. Same deal.
Jimmy G has to lead someone to the playoffs.
Garoppolo's not winning it. Javonte Williams isn't winning it. Rashad Bateman's definitely not winning it. And then Russell Wilson, they're not. Even if Russell Wilson has this great year with Sean Payton, Russell Wilson's not going to get the credit for it. They're going to say Payton fixed him.
Probably. There's probably a bit of truth there.
By the way, also, too, you got to love the report this morning at The Athletic where, yeah, Russ tried to get John Schneider and Pete Carroll fired this morning, and then Russ with a full-throated denial on social media. Were you at the right point, Kelly, of why bother?
Yeah, why bother?
Who cares?
Why bother?
Who cares? Are you really that concerned about your image? Your image got blown up this past year.
I mean,
anyway.
Unless the reporting is 100% false.
Which I highly doubt it is.
Then what? Yeah, why do you even need to say anything? Like, it all worked out for you, man. You got money. You're in Denver. You got Sean Payton. And enjoy the next couple years of... I miss good Russell Wilson so bad. Why have I... The past year has made me dislike a guy who I've rooted for his entire career. He fell off a cliff talent-wise, and now we keep hearing all these stories about this guy that make you want to dislike him more and more every day.
Oh, there's another article that just came. The other article here, Kelly, or the article, or excuse me, the actual article, I should say, another part of the article. This is articles. I don't, after reading the headline, because I just read through the article and skipped over the headline, I mean, this is just a massive hit piece on what Russell Wilson was in Denver this past year, including, again, that Russell Wilson decided to just add cadences and games on the snap call. Denver was second in the league in false starts. Like, it just...
Oh, so that's even more about him last year, too.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff on this, basically, where it's like they gave Russ way too much influence, and... this just shows great that Nathaniel Hackett's going to be awesome with the Jets as the offensive coordinator, too. That's going to be great.
If that's what was happening,
yeah.
How do you have a quarterback who's just adding cadences and causing false starts?
We should have known right away that this was going to be an abject train wreck with that first Monday night game in Seattle. Should have just immediately bet every Denver in season under humanly possible.
I still love the idea of if I could have given the Broncos ownership a time traveling device to go back and I could tell them that, hey, you're going to have a top five defense this season. And they're like, oh, man, we were thinking about signing Russell Wilson. Like, we should really go do that now. Like, they would think they have a Super Bowl in the bag.
If you told them, if you told anyone with the Broncos or betting the Broncos that they had a top five defense, that they're thinking, all right, you know what? Not only are we in the AFC title game, we have the AFC title game against either Mahomes or Allen or Burrow or whoever. We have that game at home.
Yeah, they got to come to Denver.
They got to come to the cold and the elevation. Oh, my God. We might win the darn Super Bowl.
I would have unloaded on them with the Super Bowl.
You were 5-12 with the least amount of points in the NFL.
Really is great.
What a disaster. Seriously, what an absolute train wreck that all was with the Broncos this year. Oh, man. Maybe we'll get Legaza's thoughts on this next to Kelly. Of course, John Legaza. Cork Stats on the Mayo Media Network, also with The Athletic as well. John Legaza will get baseball. You know what? I wonder if John Legaza is hopping in for the second straight year on Polar Bear MVP futures. That would be something I would like. Talking baseball, maybe a little football as well with our guy John Legaza next on A Numbers Game.
The Sports Betting Network.
In addition to the new shows that launch on Monday, Visa will be kicking off new podcasts to give every better the insights, tools, and confidence to make you a smarter, better all year long. And there are two going right now that you want to check out today. The Visa College Basketball Betting Podcast is some of the best college hoops analysis around. Tim Murray hosts 3 episodes a week. Invaluable contributions from alternating hosts, our guys Adam Burke and Matt Humans. Join Tim 3 days a week on the College Basketball Betting Podcast. And in the VSiN Hockey Betting Podcast, our guy Dan Burke, not Danny Burke, just remember Dan Burke, and hockey betting expert Andy McNeil cover all things hockey 2 times a week. So the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast, the VSiN Hockey Betting Podcast, free and available now at VSiN.com/subscribe or wherever you get your podcasts. Happy to be with you on a Friday morning. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. And now with us, a ball of energy himself. You see his written work on The Athletic. You see him on the Mayo Media Network with Cork Stats. See him during football season, and now with baseball just right around the corner, we can get into some baseball with our guy, John Legaza, who joins us right now. John, it's a pleasure to see you this morning.
Hey, Jeff, good morning. Thanks for having me. How's everything, man?
Yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. It's good to see you. It's good to see the baseball turf in the background as pitchers and catchers well there. Spring training games coming up very soon. And John, before we get into some macro stuff, you're on to something really exciting with a fantasy baseball guide that you are solely creating here.
Yes, I really appreciate this. We'll do it really quick. It's my first solo publication, and it started out as like a top 600 ranking for fantasy, but I don't like just rankings. I like to show people why. Like, I want to present my best argument for or against and have people be able to decide based on that. So, of course, me, if somebody does, I'm going to overdo. And now I've written up the first 100 players. It's over 30,000 words, and it really now applies to betting. We're going to talk about the betting markets. If you want to bet the most home runs for the season, the Cy Young, the Rookie of the Year, you really need a granular lens. You're not going to figure it out looking at home run totals, especially with, you know, everybody being as sharp as they are now and going up against these markets. So I've kind of added this granular lens to people. It's $9.99 once, and we're going to cover it the whole year. I mean, listen, you're not doing it for the money. I just really like to help people. And again, it'll show you just these arguments that I'd love to present. We're going to do it right now, right?
Absolutely. Again, go to John's Twitter, @John Legaza, and
Thank you, man.
You can get it there. Multiple tweets. You get to see Byron Buxton hitting baseballs a very long way as well. Go on there right now. The top 625 available now at John's
Appreciate
Twitter,
it,
at John Legace. Absolutely, John.
We
love having you on. Anything we can do for you, my man. Going into this season, John, I just want to get your thoughts on this. This is the biggest gap between the two leagues that I can remember. You have in the NL, to me, the Mets, the Padres, the Braves, and the Dodgers. If you put them in the American League, I would say all four of those teams would be the best team in the AL right now. There are some that would say maybe the Phillies, but I'm not all the way there on that, especially with Harper's injury. Can you remember a year where the imbalance between leagues is so egregious like it is, at least on paper, going into this 2023 season?
Well, it was before we had the universal DH. It was kind of the standard operating right. procedure in Major League Baseball, right? And now the worm has turned, and we have seen, and maybe it kind of makes sense, the league that was at a disadvantage now getting the rule to benefit them. They had been operating at a disadvantage and trying to keep up, because that really mattered. You were going into a championship series. Let's use the Red Sox when they were winning and had David Ortiz. Mm-hmm. He's a top 10 hitter in the league that doesn't play the field. That's an extra position that the National League was – nobody was ever going to spend $30 million a year on a premium hitter that doesn't field. That's a distinct advantage. Now everything is kind of fair, right? It's evened out and – man, we've seen those National League teams. You mentioned the Phillies. I was waiting to see if you were going to mention them or not. I think they just may be a bullpen arm away from making that list. You mentioned missing Bryce Harper, man. Adding Trey Turner is pretty good. And they're going to be getting Harper back. He's already taking dry swing. So I think come August, and they already showed us, right, you don't even have to be great August. The Nationals in their title run were not very good through the first half. You know, baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. So I think at the end of the day, I think we're going to be adding the Phillies to that list. Right, Houston losing JV. The Yankees, I think, are good. And I'm a huge fan. I think they're very good even. But I don't think they're as good as the Braves.
Yeah, again, the Phillies could very easily be the last team standing in the NL again. It's more than possible.
Yeah,
they're very talented. Again, it's just that NL East is going to be a war yet again with those three teams. And then that Padres-Dodgers race, at least in the regular season this year, unlike last year, will be a lot of fun through the whole year. John, we'll start in the American League and then we'll flip over to the NL. I want to start in the AL MVP race here where, look, this market, as long as Ohtani is playing, he's going to be astronomically short at this time of the year, which he is, a short shot yet again. Mike Trout and Aaron Judge are also extraordinarily short. If we're going outside of the top three here, where would you go? Would you go to a Yordan Alvarez? Would you go with a Vlad Jr.? Would you go with someone like that?
Well, I would generally. I'm a bit worried about Yordan Alvarez, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
The hand issues that plagued him last year, and we saw a really bad month for him when it was really bad. They hoped the offseason of rest would help. As soon as he started swinging, it started flaring up. So I'm pulling back on any bullishness after Yordan until we see him knock a ball off the moon, and then it's all wheels up. I think it's less about the player and more about the formula, the approach. I think you nailed a really good one. Vlad Guerrero, remember people, these awards are given by people. It's not like an objective statistic. So there is swag that is attached and market value and those kind of things, popularity. So Vlad Guerrero, of course, checks all those boxes. And at 13.5-1, I can't really think of 12 players better. So there's definitely value with Guerrero. I also like Jose Ramirez. You know, he got hurt also, and he was on fire. Same thing he said for Rafi Devers. So, but you can see where I'm going. Playoff teams, on premium teams, in premium spots that are going to get that 675, 700 plate appearances, allow them to go over, you know, 230 runs and ribbies, the kind of things you need to win the award. Man, my Yankee friends hate me because I was saying it was Ohtani over Judge. Just because he's spectacular. We'll never see anything like this again. Please stay up late sometimes to watch this guy play. But, yeah, those two horses are probably the favorites.
John, I'm going to put you on the spot. Shohei Ohtani is on which team in 2024?
I think it's the Dodgers.
I think it's Dodgers.
I think they're pulling back. It appears as if they're pulling back on spending, and that doesn't fit the bill. That, to me, stinks of opportunity. right? If the Dodgers are going into this year with Trace Thompson, then I think they're going to come home with Ohtani next year.
I think it's a two-horse race, and it all depends on if he wants to stay out west. If he wants to stay out west, yeah. I am 100% with you. But that bidding war between the Mets and the Dodgers could be something else, where we get by far the biggest contract in the history of American professional sports for Shohei Ohtani. Going to the NL MVP real quick, John. I'm a little surprised Juan Soto's as short as he is with the amount of great players in the NL, and especially with the amount of great players on his own team. Soto is 5-1 right now. Mookie Betts 9-1. Fernando Tatis Jr. 9-1. That's too short. Acuna plus 950. Freddie Freeman 12-1, and everyone else 13-1 or longer. Goldschmidt and Trey Turner are 13-1. Where are you looking in this market? Because this feels like if you're going to go down the board, this is the better league to go down the board in.
Yeah, I'm a little stuck because I think the answer is right there at the top. You know, I really believe the answer is in those top 8 or 12 names. My worry has been some of the guys I like have other teammates that are excellent. I really like Austin Riley, but he's got Acuna. I really like Freddie Freeman, but he's got Mookie Betts. And I feel like sometimes maybe that takes away from it. I'm not really sure. I'm really stuck. I haven't put any money down. Maybe it's Pete Alonso, 15-1. Can't really think of 14 guys more deserving than him. If Goldschmidt didn't get off to that incredible start, the polar bear might have won the MVP last year.
Yeah, that was a good tip. I had a 40-1 on Pete Alonso. Just no chance because Goldschmidt was as good as he was. John, we have about a minute to go here. Are there any bets that you have already made, win totals, team futures that you have in the account?
Yes, and this is the kind of stuff you get when you roll with me, the nuance and the context. We're looking at the American League Rookie of the Year. I started betting this at 12-1. It's now down to 10-1. Bet your bottom dollar. This closes at 4-1. The answer to this problem is Masataka Yoshida for the Boston Red Sox. First of all, it's a relative field. So there's no Julio Rodriguez. There's no Bobby Witt. That stuff matters. He's also 29 years old, so he has experience in his last seven years. 325 average, 420 OBP, 22 home runs, a 13% walk rate. So he should not be outmatched as far as plate approach, coming off of 5 straight 950 OPS seasons. He got paid to lead off, so he's a full complement for plate appearances. And he's up against Gunnar Henderson, who's good, but he's at 3-1. They should at least be even. But plus 10-1, give me Yoshida. I think he gets a Red Sox.
Yoshida, 10-1, the best number in the market on the Red Sox outfielder. John Legeza, everyone on the tweets of John Legeza. John, a pleasure as always, and we'll be catching up again with you soon.
My boy, thank you.
Absolutely. Jason Weingarten joins us next. We're talking World Baseball Classic.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN is excited to announce the launch of 3 new live shows to cover the dynamic sports betting markets like no one else can. With some fresh concepts and pairings, as we head into a new season of sports, VSiN will continue to deliver all the news, analysis, and insights you've come to expect from your favorite team of sports betting experts. Check out the new lineup starting Monday, and you see on your screen if you're watching us, Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, headlining the new shows during the week, and the handle noon Eastern on Saturday and Sunday with Matt Brown and Dave Ross headlining the new shows on the weekends. Again, great coverage, as we always do here at VSiN. Happy to be with you on a Friday morning. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin is here. We'll have Jason Weingarten in a second on the World Baseball Classic. Kelly, I just want to go back real quick to what we were talking about earlier before we shift back into baseball here. Just going through this real quick, I've been trying to do some research on if John Mechie is eligible to win the Comeback Player of the Year. And I'm even more confused than I was when I started the venture.
Which is
always a good sign.
Yeah, good. What do you got?
It's conflicting. No one seems to have a clue. Like, again, we didn't know. Remember, before the year, we didn't know that Brian Robinson was ineligible. We found that out after the season when Mike Florio wrote the article that, checked in, Brian Robinson was not eligible.
What's funny is I think I've kind of changed my mind since we first brought that up, too, where I think you're right. I think he would be eligible.
I think he would be. I don't think
because you're right. He's not a rookie anymore.
It's not the same as the NBA. Because remember, Blake Griffin missed his whole rookie season with an injury, came back. Well, it was supposed to be his rookie season, came back the following year, and technically his second year, but they counted as his rookie year and won the rookie of the year with ease. By the way, that was like 15 years ago now. That just shows how old we are, Kelly. Craziness on that. But, man, I really do think, after looking at this, if he is eligible, if John Metchie is eligible, that actually is a reasonable bet at 15-1. I really do think that is a good bet, especially, Kelly, if Bryce Young ends up as the quarterback in Houston, reuniting with his guy from Bama, chemistry already there. Not like Brandon Cooks is going to be willing to play. I mean,
but that's the only part, right? Like, you, I'm not saying you're drawing some lines that make sense,
yeah,
right? But he's still got to get on the field and play. I don't know if we're gonna hand the award to a guy who's barely played or isn't playing at all, right? Like, they've got to get out on the field and do something.
Yeah, it's just we'll see what happens as we go along. This is up way early. This award won't be announced until next February. So you'd be hanging your money up for 12 whole months. I know you love doing that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I love doing that for sure.
But, I mean, this is the difference, though. We talked about this earlier in the week. The difference between a Victor Wembanyama bet and this is, well, you're putting your money in the bank for a few months, and it's no matter what odds you're betting it at, you're gonna get some return on your investment. This one, yes, you got to wait a long time, and it's still a gamble.
Wait a second. Wembanyama's odds go down? He's now minus 8,000. Isn't that lower than what it was earlier in the week?
No. They keep getting worse.
Okay.
Yeah, they keep getting worse.
I, for some reason, thought it was minus 10,000 at one point.
You and I think, first looked at it, it was 4,000, then 6,000, then 8,000. Yeah, so yeah, they have ticked up even more. Because people are listening to us. It doesn't matter what odds you bet them at.
As ridiculous as it is, it's minus 8,000. It's still a good bet.
I think you and I nailed it too. If you're at a place where you could actually get casino drinks or something like that, that's the ultimate get a drink ticket.
By the way, they also have DraftKings also has this up real quick, Kelly. First to be drafted, Wembanyama versus the field also, which is the same bet as the first pick. I'm kind of confused.
Well,
by that one.
So that's the other one. Pro tip, shop markets within the same sports book for conflicting odds. I'm going to guess they're not different, though.
No, they are the same. They are the same. They are minus 8,000. And the field, the only thing is, like, the only thing that's, well, actually, you know what the thing is? The field is 25-1, and Scoot Henderson is 30-1. If Scoot Henderson's the only other possible pick, if there were going to be one. So we'll see how we go. Well, we got Jason Weingarten ready to go. Jason Weingarten, of course, Wide World of Weingarten podcast, joining us right now. Jason, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. How's it going? Nice to talk to you guys.
It's good to talk to you as well. It's going pretty well. Jason, we are just a short period of time away from the World Baseball Classic starting. And Jason, just looking through the top end rosters here, some of these teams, the DR, the U.S., even Venezuela and Puerto Rico, these rosters are ridiculous at the top of the field.
Yeah, you know, the Dominican team is going to get all the headlines with the top of their lineup with Juan Soto and Julio Rodriguez and Manny Machado and, you know, Jose Ramirez. Actually, I think Jose Ramirez is sitting it out maybe. But either way, I mean, it's an elite lineup and, you know, it gets all the attention. But for me, I think Team Japan is getting my attention, at least in the futures market.
Right now, Jason, Japan is 3-1. Dominican Republic is the favorite at 2-1. USA, the defending champions at plus 275. Japan is 3-1. Jason, again, usually with these, Shohei Ohtani will play for Team Japan. Because, again, a lot of these players on the Japan team are playing in the NPB, which is the Japanese professional league that fans over here are not necessarily familiar with. Of course, you have guys sprinkled in that are in Major League Baseball. But 3-1, I was a little surprised to see that number. I did expect them to be the same number or shorter than Team USA.
Yeah, you know, obviously Team USA is going to always get the attention, you know, especially when the tournament is being played in the United States. I bet Japan around 4-1 a little bit earlier, so I'm surprised to see that number's come down a little bit. I think the thing that worries me with both the Dominican team and the Team USA is like, you know, I don't want to say that they don't have pitching depth, but like the U.S. is going to start Nick Martinez in an international tournament. That was the best, you know, pitching that Team USA could convince to play in this tournament. And I understand, you know, the hesitation on certain pitchers to, you know, compete in this tournament, but other nations, it seems like their players are signing up to pitch. Like Shohei Ohtani, for example, has said he has no restrictions and, you know, is really looking forward to playing in this tournament. Whereas, you know, with Team USA, they couldn't get Clayton Kershaw on the roster. They couldn't get Justin Verlander on the roster. It's, you know, I think that could end up hurting them, you know, when it comes to the elimination games. But, you know, it's going to be a good tournament.
Just looking at some of these pool play prices real quick, Jason, and I just want to bring up Pool D, which is the loaded pool. Poor Nicaragua and poor Israel right now in that pool. You make the World Baseball Classic cool. You're saddled with the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, and Puerto Rico in the same group as you. The DR is minus 300. Venezuela is 4-1, and Puerto Rico is plus 450. Is there a possibility of looking at either Venezuela or Puerto Rico at a bloated price in that group?
To win the group, I'm not super excited. Puerto Rico was in the championship game last time out, so it wouldn't surprise me to see him make a run again. For most of these teams, it really just comes down to pitching depth, though. A lot of these lineups will have, you know, really solid middle of the order, you know, players, you know, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, even Mexico has a pretty solid lineup. It just comes down to the pitching, which, you know, speaking of Mexico, I've seen that number. It's come down from the mid, you know, 50s to the 30s. I see 22-1 on screen now here. They have Julio Urias leading that pitching staff. It's actually a pretty good team top to bottom. If I was looking for a long shot farther down the board, I think Mexico has a chance to make a little bit of a run in this tournament. Last tournament, I liked Venezuela a lot. This tournament, I think Mexico is the dark horse team.
Right now, Mexico to win Pool C, which is Team USA, Mexico, Colombia, Canada, and Great Britain. 4-1 on Mexico to win the group right now. Is that good enough to take a bite of, Jason?
Yeah, I don't hate that. That's basically asking, do I think that they could beat Team USA? And I do think they can beat Team USA. Like I said, you know, no offense to Nick Martinez, but the top of the Team USA pitching rotation is not as strong as you would expect in a national international competition.
He's Jason Weingarten again, VSiN contributor on the tweets at Spreadopedia. Jason, pleasure as always to catch up with you. Hey, we're 2 weeks away from this tournament starting, so we're ready for it, Jason.
Can't wait. It's baseball season starting today officially. It's good to be back and good to get going.
Absolutely. Jason Weingarten, everyone. When we come back, full Friday card in the NBA, a pretty weak college basketball card. Kelly and I sort through it as we roll along here on A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credit like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experience, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. So sign up today or log in to your current account to get an even bigger piece of the action on BetMGM with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Go to BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older to place a wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Happy to be with you here on A Numbers Game. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin here as well. Kelly, let's go to the association first. A little bit of a lighter card than usual on a Friday.
Yeah.
Because yesterday was the big card on a Thursday, but still a few good games out there. And let's start in Atlanta, all right? Let's start in Atlanta. The Hawks, their first game off the break. Cleveland, of course, lost a really close competitive game yesterday at home to Denver. The Hawks, who have, of course, fired Nate McMillan earlier in the week. Joe Prunty, the interim coach, at least for the time being. Hawks 1-point favorites, Kelly.
Yeah, this is one that I'll have my eye on all day. Back-to-back situation for Cleveland, as you brought up, Jeff, but that's, you know, we're coming off of the All-Star break. These guys have had a week plus off. It's not something that I'm really going to overreact to or take into account, I guess, as much as I would in a normal situation. If anybody caught it yesterday, Trae Young continues to have problems, even though he somehow got Nate McMillan fired, which there was a problem with those three months ago. McMillan gets fired. Trae Young still gets excused from practice yesterday for personal reasons.
Okay.
Don't know what that means, right? Is it really just personal stuff that he's dealing with off the court? Is it issues between him and the organization still? I don't know, but keep your eye on that for today. He's not listed on anything injury report-wise, but I saw that note come down, and that will be big, obviously, for this game tonight. Trae Young, one of the best scorers in the NBA. Cleveland, we talked a bit about it yesterday when they're going up to play Denver. Yes, they got to go into Atlanta now. This team's one of the best offensive and defensive teams over the past month. Over their past 9 games, we're talking 7-2. They are plus 15.5 points in net rating, the best in the league over that time. Second in offense, third in defense over that span. Yes, they lost that game to Denver last night, but if you're talking about going into Atlanta facing a team without Trae Young, I'm going to have my eyes on this one all day. If I can get in front of that Trae Young news, if he happens to be out, it will be a bet on Cleveland spot for me. Otherwise, I think it's a great game to look live, too. Both of these teams, up-tempo, high-scoring teams, I think you could get in on either side, theoretically, here and have a good chance of making a good live bet.
It's just the Hawks. We talked about it earlier this week. It is truly remarkable with the amount of talent that team has had, that they have just been mediocre these last 2 years after that Eastern Conference
final. I still believe in them, Jeff. We talked about it earlier this week of what's that Eastern Conference playoffs going to look like. I think they're still in it, but, man, what is going on? It is a lot of questions. I mean, JVT and I talked about this on Hardwood Handicapper seemingly 2 months ago, maybe more than that, about, okay, you're hearing about Trae Young and Nate McMillan getting into it like every other day. That we know that this league is run by the players. Anybody who wants to argue against that, just accept the fact. LeBron James is player, coach, and general manager out in L.A. for the Lakers. And a lot of these other guys have a lot of sway with their own teams, including Trae Young. Gets Nate McMillan fired. I would expect that this team would bounce back from that and start to look better with someone else running the show there now. But I don't know. Something's up with Trae, so something to keep an eye on in that.
Milwaukee without Giannis tonight, of course, going to miss some time with the ligament injury in his wrist. We don't know how long he will miss, but it's nothing that requires surgery, just a sprained ligaments in there. Taking on Kelly Bidlin's Miami Heat tonight up at Fiserv in Milwaukee. Bucks laying 1.5 here, Kelly.
That's right. I've got division tickets on the Hawks and Magic in this division, but it's still my Miami Heat somehow. He hit the Bucks. I know JVT is on the under. He wrote up a nice piece on this on VSiN.com. Make sure to check that out each and every day. He usually does write-ups on games he's looking at there. So I know he's on the under here. I think it makes a lot of sense. You're talking about two top five defenses over the past month. This Milwaukee team, especially in their past 7 games, best in the league, only averaging 105 points per game scored against them. No Giannis tonight. So, that you know, Jeff, great two-way player, one of the best, if not the best, in the game. Yes, it takes away a little bit from their defensive capabilities, but obviously he's not scoring as much as he will on offense. So, I do like that play from JVT on the under tonight. It does look like Kevin Love is going to get suit up for Miami tonight. Will be his first action as a member of the Miami Heat. Like that play, though. Strong lean to the under for me. Might be a not a pregame play for me. I don't really like a side here. I just don't. Even without Giannis in the lineup, Bobby Portis looks like he'll be back tonight. If anything, I'd still lean Milwaukee. I just don't trust this Miami Heat team offensively. We'll see how Kevin Love is able to add to the offense, but it's not going to come right away.
Oklahoma City, off that gut-wrenching loss yesterday to Utah, goes to Phoenix. 7-point favorites, the Suns are. We thought we might see Kevin Durant tonight. We will not. He scrimmaged earlier this week, but he's not ready just yet. Suns laying 7, and an NBA total of 230.5, which you don't even blink your eye at anymore.
Yeah, you really don't. I mean, this Thunder team, it's SGA and a bunch of dudes. Lou Dort, Josh Giddey show up sometimes. Other than that, though, it's pretty much a one-man offense, and he's going to control however this team goes. I would recommend looking at some rebounding props over on the Suns side of things. You saw Markkanen rack up 10, Kessler racked up 18 last night. They've just got, the Thunder have nobody down low with any size that can regularly contend on the glass or make any defensive stops. I think DeAndre Ayton could feast tonight against this Thunder team down low. So that's actually where I'm looking. I haven't bet that yet, but over points and rebounds for someone like Ayton, I think is a great bet tonight.
Walker Kessler, whose numbers are better than Rudy Gobert's this year.
It's incredible.
It's not what you want in Minnesota.
We're going to look back in this in 3 years and talk about it as being one of the greatest trades ever made.
Well, or one of the worst trades ever made.
Whichever
side you're on. One more game I want to get to, Kelly. The Kings, who again are closing in on the Memphis Grizzlies for the 2 seed, as wild as that is. They're in L.A. tonight to take on the Clippers. Clippers laying 6.5.
Yeah, another one of the marquee games tonight. This is no Zubats for the Clippers tonight. So I think what you're going to see here is even more wide open play. This is why that total, you involve the Kings in any game, you're going to get a high total. But the total's as high as it is because Zubats isn't in there. Miles Plumlee going to have a lot of work to do down low tonight. Domantas Sabonis could have a big game for the Kings. For me, this would be lean Kings catching 6.5. I see a 7 out there. You start to get over those key number ranges in the NBA, get to a 7 over that. That would be tough for me to stay away from tonight with the Kings, but it's not a bet I've made yet, Jeff. But that's another one I'm keeping my eye on because that Clippers money, if that keeps coming in all day like it often does, we get to a 7.5, something like that, I might be pulling the trigger on Sacramento.
In college hoops tonight, there were only 2 games that popped into numbers, Kelly, but they are big favorites, and that scares me. That scares me a whole lot. The 2 that popped, the first one is in the Sun Belt, the regular season finale between Georgia State and James Madison, as we all expected, Kelly. My numbers popped on James Madison overnight at minus 13, and they still pop on minus 15, which is out there.
Oh, boy.
Which is a frightening proposition.
That sounds like a fun Friday night.
My Lay goodness.
15 points. Come Lay on, 15. Jeff, what could happen?
And the other part of this, too, these teams are on 1 day of rest. They played on Wednesday. Georgia State got smacked by App State, and James Madison lost a really difficult loss to a good Marshall team in a game they probably should have won in a ridiculously high-scoring affair, but, that's kind of dicey. And then the other one, I know our audio guy, Sean McCollum, is not going to like this. My numbers popped on UNLV tonight.
What do you mean he's not going to like that?
No, I mean, whenever I bet on UNLV, they don't cover and they lose.
Yeah, I think isn't that their thing? Isn't that kind of their thing?
They lay 9 tonight against Air Force. I'm going to have probably the James Madison one in the account, but, a lot of points to be laying, even though Georgia State has been brutal of late. That's all the time we have here on A Numbers Game. For Kelly Bidlin, I'm Jeff Bartles. Enjoyed the week. Gil is back on Monday. Looking
Great
forward
job,
to
Jeff.
That. Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate it. The Lombardi Line is coming your way next here on VSiN.